Appreciate everybody who was here today helping with the funeral. I particularly want to thank Sherry and Wendy and, of course, Christine. I know there's many others, but they were doing a lot of the... Xavier put so many of the tables up and helped tremendously. Just want to tell you a quick story. Hallelujah. Why are you all spread out? Somebody not washed? No, it's just a thought. About fervent prayer. Fervent prayer is not in our culture. It's not in the American culture. It's not part of the scripture says, in James 5, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So those three elements. But just to tell you the quick story of the way Wendy and I got into China, I've told it to some of you, but some of you haven't heard the story, just to give you the quick version. So Sister Ruth Heflin, who was the leader of the ministry there in Jerusalem, sometime in the early 70s, wanted to go to Korea because she'd heard about this church that was beginning, Yonggi Cho's church. You probably heard about it. And there was a prayer mountain. Now, I don't know if you all know about Korea, that on the, I believe it's the 38th or 39th parallel, I can't remember, was where the Korean War, there was a DMZ zone where the war stopped. There was always a divide between North and South Korea there. And then during the war, they warred for years and thousands, hundreds of thousands of people died. And still, nothing changed. So anyway, Seoul, Korea is not far from that border. And so thank you. So can you imagine living like from here to Albany away from communist threat? You know what I'm saying? That kind of would change your thinking, wouldn't it? I mean, we think the Canadians are a nuisance. You know what I'm saying? And we think the Rio Grande is a threat. So, but you're that close to being overrun. Constant pressure. So during the Korean War, if you're not sure of your history, of course it was in the early 50s, 52, 53, something like that. And it was a brutal war involving the Chinese. So remembering that if you're facing a country, it would be like North Korea being in Albany and China being Canada. And that's quite a threat if you think about it, right? So what happened is the Koreans, one in particular that we know about, Yonggi Cho. Who's never heard of Dr. Yonggi Cho? Everybody's heard of him? He's got the biggest church in the world. His church is over 1 million strong. One church. And so so Ruth Heflin was there in the early 70s, and she was praying at this place called Prayer Mountain when she had this word. She had a name given to her, Soja Kim or whatever it was. Now, she knew it was a Korean name. And so she went up to this elderly woman and said, "Excuse me, the Lord has just given me a name, Soja Kim, whatever it was." And she looked and said, "That's my son." And so so she prophesied over the woman, and this woman had a huge goiter in her stomach, like the size of a loaf of bread. Ruth prayed for her. She got instantly healed, and this woman's son got saved. Now, she turned out to be Yonggi Cho's mother-in-law, and she was the assistant pastor in his church, and she was getting ready to, I was going to say retire, but just kind of give up and die, She thought, well, I've finished my course. I've got this cancer, whatever it is, and she was getting ready to die. But instead of that, she got back on fire for God and began traveling all around the world, planting churches, preaching in conferences, saying all that to say this. She came to Jerusalem while we were living there to thank Sister Ruth. And she came there. It was Easter. And thank God, at the same time, a team of men arrived, pastors, all of them, from Nigeria, who were all proteges and disciples of Dr. Benson Idahosa. Do you know that name? Who's heard of Dr. Benson Idahosa? Now, Idahosa, man, I tell you, he may have been the most powerful man in Africa of the day. You've probably a lot of you heard of Reinhard Bonnke. We need to give you a few more history lessons about some of these great pioneers of God, That many of them are still alive. Benson Idahosa's died, but And so these men came. This was the time. Remember I told you a story about when I got on fire with tongues? I told you the story about I was giving a bunch of Nigerians a ride in the car because for 3 months I was stammering in tongues, ba 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 da ba 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 ba, until these Nigerians arrived and I was giving them a ride home. And when I dropped them off and turned the car around, I went, ba 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 karabushandarabadiarabarandarabasandarabakitarabarasand. I've been praying like an M16 ever since. And it was those Nigerian guys that were Benson's guys. Well, that Benson Idahosa laid hands on me in a hotel room in Jerusalem. I swear to God, it was like throwing butter on a red-hot skillet. My brain melted. I felt like my head melted. I've never had anybody lay hands on me like that. It was the most amazing effect. When I hit the deck, I went straight down because that was like the effect of it. You know, like I just melted. Boo. And he was stinking scary, that guy, mate. Gee, I've had some people lay hands on me in my life. And I'm just realizing it. You know, it's just so coming back. Who was there Sunday night? Hope not two of you. Two of you got scared when I grabbed that guy by the throat on Sunday night. If you didn't see it, good. Somebody saw, and in fact, somebody spoke to me afterwards. I leapt off the platform, grabbed somebody by the scruff of the neck. Did some of you see it? Yo, I wasn't going to tell you it was. I mean, if you wanted to know it was you, then it was you then. Okay, but because I didn't want him to fall down. See, I didn't want him to fall down. I knew I was going to take authority over some stuff, and it was no good on the deck. I'm not bending over and praying over somebody. I'm too old for that. You stand up when I pray for you, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'll tell you. Sunday, there was a change. There was something changed in the spirit Sunday night when I realized that this revival is also a revival of preaching. And I tell you, some of you guys need to get a hold of the unction that's on me for preaching. I have an unction to preach. And so, I mean, when I was young, man, I could preach. When I was in my 30s, breathe 3 times an hour, that's all. I have to breathe through my ears, you know. But I'm saying that because there's something about the unction of preaching that's very important. Don't try and get too clever with your preaching. When it's time to preach, preach. If we're just teaching, then teach. And you're explaining, then explain. But anyway, I think it's important for you to get this. So let's get back to Jerusalem. And so she came, Sister Chae Jar-shil, and her interpreter was a Korean industrialist out of Los Angeles. Now, that was how we got into China, because he was building a factory in Wuhan in China, and he was given, it was called joint venture in those days. The Chinese would work with other countries to build certain things, and they were given 10 visas, and 5 of them he wanted to use for missionaries and 5 for technicians. Well, I was chosen to go on the team because I was a technician. So therefore, even though I was getting one of the missionary visas, I would have doubled as a technician, which it turned out it was. Because whenever the Chinese got technical about engineering, I was the mouthpiece. And so, you know, God used my previous training for that. So Sister Chae came to Jerusalem. We held this awesome conference. Oh, no, it was the next year we had the conference. So when she came, she taught. And she was so fanatical about prayer and fasting. It was kind of scary. She used to pray, for instance, do you remember the fasting for pregnant women? Do you remember that one, Wendy? Do you remember that? What was it? 4 days. It was 4 days. But 4 days before you have the baby, you fast. And 4 days after you have the baby, you fast. How's that for radical? She was so radical about fasting, she used to make her chickens fast. Yeah. She used to make her livestock fast, and they used to produce more eggs. I don't know if it was through fear or what, but I tell you, she had so many stories about fasting that when she came to the conference the next year for a prayer on fasting conference, really? That when she came, she began to preach, and it was, I think, the second night. Sit still. It was the second night. She got on the stage and she started going. She owned a Bible, Isaiah 58, which is the fasting chapter. And she started, English was almost non-existent because this industrialist was her interpreter. And she go, da, 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 da. And she say, we go to Isaiah 58. His English was lousy as well, but and try to get on and say, She say, every time she says to me, he'd say, she say, yeah, we understand she's the one doing it. Anyway, and then she suddenly stopped. She goes, I swear she was only 4 foot 10, 4 foot 11. Let's not exaggerate. And so she's going, this big. And then she goes, and he said, she say, you read Isaiah 58 when you go home, she gonna dance. And so she just, so we're all sitting there, like 700 or 800 of us. Whoa! And everybody took over once and started dancing. Everybody, and the place went nuts. Because she knew it wasn't time to preach, it was time to dance. And it was awesome because she then sat, it was a really high platform. I mean this high. And so she sat on the edge of the platform with her little legs, you know. She's sitting on the edge like this. And she was real holiness woman. She preached with a hat and glove, sleeves down here, and not only dressed down to her ankles, but long white stockings and pantaloon kind of things underneath that, you know. Oh, Karabashakanda, she come and she made everybody line up, and then she'd lay hands on them, and God would tell her how long they had to fast. But she got so tired of trying to say it afterwards that she just used me. I was the bouncer, whatever I was. I don't know why they always picked on me, but anyway. So she'd go, ha, Karabah. So I'd say, fast and pray 3 days, and I'd grab the people, because as she laid hands on them, they went out in the spirit. Well, she wasn't going to move. She's one of these women that, I ain't moving, you figure it out. You know, she was in charge, mate. We were once in Korea when she was preaching, she was standing on a glass table. And as she's preaching on this glass table, I promise you, is going, yeah, yeah. And we go, Sister Tate. And she's behind, she looks at us, she goes, the table's going to break. She went, and she just preached on, and she couldn't care less about breaking tables. We had a Japanese guy in Jerusalem who had this beautiful Japanese doll. It was worth hundreds of dollars, one of these real, genuine Japanese dolls. She walked in the house, because she's Asian, right, hates idols. She goes, it's worth hundreds of dollars. She didn't care. It was an idol. It was going. She wrecked it. Well, we knew when she came to the place, we would hide all of, you know, horses and these Chinese horses and things we had in the house. We had to hide them all in the sheds because we knew she'd smash them. She didn't care. She didn't ask your permission. She didn't give you her opinion. She just smashed them. She would take them off and just smash them. She was the assistant pastor of the biggest church in the world. Then it was only small. It was only 150,000. I was 19 when we were there. When you 1980? What year were you born? End of 1980 we were there. And I'd watch this little woman, 5 foot tall. And the pastors in the church, they have a bell in the church in Korea to stop the people from praying. Have you ever heard this story from me? They, I don't know what the word is, so I'm making it up, all right? But when it's time to pray, this is how I know there's going to be a rapture. I don't know what your theology is. You're wrong. Because when they start praying in tongues, 10,000 Koreans start. How many of us were there? 50? 40 of us praying in tongues then? Right. Well, we don't know how to pray compared with those guys. 10,000 of them take off praying at once. And the guy gets behind the pulpit and he goes, Gio! Or whatever he shouts, you know. And they'll go, ah! And this white knuckle prayer, you see their knuckles going white as they're praying. And the whole place, every single hair on my body stood to attention. I swear, I sat there, I had my headphones on for me. And I went, Kah. And I looked up and I thought, I swear, I thought I was going. I thought this was it. I thought they'd prayed Jesus back. It was phenomenal. It was the most amazing experience. And it was all because of the fervency of this one little peanut of a woman, man, who got this Zion prayer. Well, that's how I got the idea of Zion Prayer Mountain years ago. And she got this prayer mountain, but she used to preach on fasting. So she say, so her favorite sermon was this, to say, speaking tongues. She say, speaking tongues. I'm enjoying myself. Leave me alone. Eh? And then she'd say, number two, you know, fast and pray. Fast and pray. And then she'd tell about, you know, chickens fasting and every tell 100 stories about fasting. And then she'd say, number three, all night prayer. Pray through the night. And, you know, karabashandarabasan. She never stopped praying in tongues. She's an amazing woman. And then she said, number four. We'll go, number four. We're all making notes. Number four. Do it! End of sermon. And I realized that no matter what your 3 points are in your sermon, until you do number four, it ain't worth spit. Until you actually do it. That's why I feel recently I don't feel inspired to preach on Sunday mornings that much like I used to, because I'm feeling, you know, I'm just tired of sermonizing unless we're going to do it. I mean, there was even hesitancy among most of you tonight. I said, okay, come forward, we're all going to pray in tongues. There was only about 8 of us up here on that time. And then, you know, people come in and sit down and watch us. Like, oh, you're not included? I have to invite you to be included? Now, we're talking about a church plant. We can't invite people to be included. You have to make your mind up. This is, I'm not a Calvinist. You know, apparently it's 500 years of celebrating Calvin this year, and Calvin is a, you know, predestined guy, a sovereignty guy, and all that. That's not me. I'm a whosoever will guy. A whosoever will. God is going to do awesome things. I've never felt so confident in my life that God is going to do awesome things, and he's going to use whosoever will. He's not going to wait for all these smart Alex like me who've been around for a long time. He's just going to grab a hold of anybody who is going to make a fool of themselves for Christ and is going to yield to the Holy Spirit, come under authority, get an unction from the Holy One, an impartation of the Spirit of God, and just say, I want some of this. Amen. You get my point? Now, I understand you're not as noisy and boisterous as me. So don't interpret that you have to be like me. I'm not saying that. But something in you has to be the same as that. Something inside of you has to say, I want to do that. Whatever it takes, I'm going to do it. Because to be personally, perfectly honest, I think there's a lot of people on the, not necessarily in this room, but there's a lot of people on the verge of oblivion right now. On the verge of oblivion, to go into such ordinariness, it'll be painful. Such ordinariness. Ordinariness is so acceptable in our culture, isn't it? Ordinary Christianity. And so I just want to encourage you in those thoughts that it's going to take... I got a word. I got a word that I wanted to share with everybody. Steve, God gave this to Steve and I. Could you grab that for me? I don't know where I put it. All right. It was, what are you prepared to give up so we can invest in you? It used to be a time I used to preach, well, you need to commit to the church. Now I'm preaching. No, I want to commit to you. I want to commit to people. Must have been a month ago. I stood here, over there. I've been under a lot of pressure this year with all kinds of criticism coming more than any other time in my life. And I stood here and there was a whole bunch, mostly you guys, And if you, I know Pastor Don's out preaching tonight. If you don't know, he's taking the team over to another church to preach. They'll tear the place up. Hallelujah. He's taking Brian and Tatiana and Kiana and a few others. So it's going to be really wild. In fact, I might give the mic to Steve and run over there. But anyway, and I tuned in and I looked over there and I looked at all these young people. And that's when I made a decision. I said, that's what it's all about. Because this last year, towards the end of last year, beginning of this year, I said to my wife, I said, there's no way I would lay down my life in an American church. No way. I'd walk out rather than that. But now I think I'm beginning to find that there's actually something in my life worth dying for. Because I'm finding everything else so stinking naff, so meaningless, so tasteless. You know, once you've eaten curry, trust me, Spam don't cut it. And it, you know what I'm saying? That taste has come and I'm going. And then when I watch some of you guys, most of you guys, look at you. Just look around at each other. Look at you. How many of you have had a word of knowledge this year for the first time in your life? How many of you have laid hands on people and they've hit the deck for the first time in your life? How many of you have got people speaking in tongues for the first time in your life? And that's just in 4 or 5 months. And that's half the time we didn't even know what we were doing. I was too busy sticking my finger in the dike, worrying about what everybody was thinking. And those days are over. I'm not going to be concerned about what they think anymore. I was born to preach. I'm a prophet of God. And Steve and I, together with all of us, are going to make a huge difference. And I'm so totally convinced of it. I'm convinced of it. I really believe it. I see some of you young guys, and when I say young, I'm talking about Sal as well. I'm talking about Fred. I'm talking about Gary. I'm talking about Pam, yeah. I see some of you guys, and I can see it. I mean, Cassidy stood up here. No, it was downstairs Saturday night. My jaw dropped. She's 14 years old, and I heard eternity in her voice, man. She started speaking. I went, her and her mother and me and her sister just all just gobsmacked. Who the heck are you, lady? A 14-year-old. Do you hear the story of Ashley Ortman? Because she was pushed a little bit by Brian to go and speak to those people. And they came to the meeting and they got saved. I mean, what's that about? That's what it's about. That's why Jesus died. Jesus didn't die for Sunday mornings. Jesus didn't die for Christmas trees on and candlelight services. Jesus died so that there could be a change in the earth. We need to understand Jesus died for a revolution. He wants to change the whole world and he wants to use us. He wants to use us. You know, I've been trying for weeks, and thank God I won. I don't care how pushy you think I am. I'm pushy. Handle it. Right, just make that clear in case there was any. I said to Elaine 2 or 3 weeks ago, I said, Elaine, are you a musician or a minister? You know, now I can talk to her like that because we know each other reasonably well. Plus, she's done that to me in the past. I was getting even. And she looked at me. She said, I'm a minister. Right. Then give the music a break. Give it a break. Focus on your ministry. You've been leading us in worship for 3 years now. I want you to be laying hands on people. I want you to be prophesying. I want to hear you preach. I want to hear the life that's inside you, the life that was in her grandfathers who were preachers. I want to hear that life come forth. I want to hear that life come out of you. When Rachel got up here the other night with that mic, the way she looked at me, I said, you want this? And I got so much confidence. I'm from stock that believes that you're either a sinner or a preacher. That's it. There's only two categories in the world. You're either unsaved, therefore you've got nothing to say, or you believe, and therefore you're going to speak. So I'm just saying that. You know, the guy that birthed the movement that I came from. He was a professional boxer, very strong man, a very good carpenter. He was one of the few men that had a real good job during the Depression in the 30s. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, quit your job, buy a tent, and go all up and down the East Coast and preach the gospel. And he went up and down there living by faith on nickels and dimes, just like Roy. Now, that was funny, but you didn't get it. But anyway, that's the stock I'm from. Ruth Heflin, who trained me, raised me up as a prophet of God, ministered in every country on the planet, including every island in the Caribbean, every island in the Pacific. She put her foot on every country in the world. And I remember just before she died, she got into North Korea. And she was so happy when she got into North Korea and Tibet and different places that used to be closed. That's the anointing that's on my life. Now, I'm not saying I'm special. All I'm saying is here we are. Here we are on the verge of something great. That's what I believe. I really believe it. I look around this room and think, yes, we can. Except I've got a bit more confidence in the pipe dream that some people have. So that's what I want to talk about. That's why I'm going to say, you know, let's not get confused and try and get stuck on math when it comes to talking about a church plant in Newburgh. Let's not get caught up in details. It's going to, because it's just going to, it will confuse me. But let me just touch on it a little bit. So the way we see at the moment, who heard me speak Sunday morning? Raise your hands. Okay, the rest of you need to try and get a copy of the CD. Basically, I taught how the church came out of the Apostolic Council. There was no church while Jesus walked the earth. There was no church, just an apostolic council. And that birthed the church. So we need to see how important an apostolic council is and how we can begin to gather strong men and women together with diverse gifts. Now, we're not complete yet. Don't get me wrong. I've got an apostolic prophetic anointing on my life, and I'm a good teacher. I know I am, okay? I understand pastoring. It was a mantle God gave me, but it's not who I am. Steve is a revivalist and evangelist. He can do a little bit of everything as well. I've heard him prophesy. I've seen him pastor. We know how many churches he's planted, so we understand that as well. And there are other men and women here in our midst with those kind of giftings. And together, I'll be honest with you, what we're weak on at the moment is actually pastoral gifts. We're kind of weak on that. But that's all right. God will raise it up in our midst. So try and see it this way. I don't know if I can explain it clearly. See, the Apostolic Council is a separate entity in its own right. When the church was scattered in Jerusalem, you remember the story, what happened? Philip went to Samaria and started a church. Huge revival. Healings, miracles, signs and wonders. And what they did was then the Apostolic Council, which was residing in Jerusalem. Now, let me explain this to you. There was no church in Jerusalem anymore. Because the Bible clearly says they were all scattered except the apostles. So therefore, where was the church in Jerusalem? It didn't exist. I don't know how long for. But there was a period of time. So now they went down. Who was it? It was Peter and John, I believe. I think we're in Acts 8. Went down to Samaria, and they were the ones that laid hands on the people, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't quite understand all that, how the power of God moved so freely and so full of them were baptized in the Holy Spirit. But the reality is, that is a clear indication of the necessity of an apostolic council coming into a church situation to help strengthen it, confirm it, lay foundations, and to make sure that the thing is established. Am I making sense at the moment? The other church, as we know, was established in Antioch. Barnabas, when they heard about the grace that was in Antioch, Jerusalem sent Barnabas. Barnabas went and got Paul. And Paul and Barnabas went and spent 1 year in Antioch, and they did the same thing. They confirmed and strengthened the church, and then after a while, their ministry was complete, and the Holy Spirit spoke and said, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've got for them to do." And they laid hands on them, this is the bit I like, and sent them away. Sent them where? No, away. Well, where? Away. And there's some of you have to have an away anointing if you want to do what God wants in your life. Can some of you hear what I'm saying? You've got to have something in you and say, yeah, okay, I can do that. I can be a year here and then I can be away and I can be there and I can be away. That's what Paul did. He was 6 months here, 3 months there, 18 months there. And remember, Paul always preached in a company. So, don't tie things down too much in an old order. Because as soon as we get in an old order, we get in an old wineskin, we get in an old religious pattern, and we won't be able to stay flexible and do what God wants us to do. I believe God wants to do a quick work. All the people in Jamaica, all I kept hearing, we believe God for a quick anointing, quick anointing. Remember, that was the word that Steve introduced to us at the beginning, and I was the one who brought the scripture on it. Out of the book of Romans. I will do a quick work and cut it short in righteousness. So therefore, we've got the scripture on it. We've got the word on it. Every time anything happens, if God doesn't give me a word on it, but as soon as he gives me a word on it, I'm all for it. So I want you to see this. We are going to plant a church in Newburgh, probably in October. Now, some of you are going to be part of that church permanently. Some of you are going to be part of the establishment of that church. For instance, I don't mind talking about it, but we had dinner last night with my three daughters. It was a wonderful, wonderful time, as usual. We all think, of course, that sanity is completely overrated. Totally overrated. I really believe that. Who the heck wants to be sane? What a stupid ambition. Anyway, get on with it, Vaughn. So all three of them are excited about Newburgh, but know that they're not part of it. They know they're going to be part of it because, like me, I'll be going down. Now, what we see at the moment, nothing's set in concrete, but try and stay with this big picture, okay? What we see at the moment, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Newburgh. It will be headed up by Steve. Now, what we've got to understand is every church plant will be autonomous. There's no control from Kingston. There's apostolic council from the apostolic council by invitation. So when I go to preach, for instance, in Newburgh, it will be by Steve's invitation, and he will give me the authority. Does that make sense to you? The apostolic council has no authority over anything but by invitation, relationship. Are we okay? So therefore, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Newburgh. Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Kingston. Now, Steve will preach here Sunday night to keep the fire burning and make sure that the anointing that is biting. Look how many of us have got a piece of the action. Come on, folks. The anointing that's biting will not wane in any way. And every Sunday night, he'll come back and we'll have a raving, crazy, fired up Holy Ghost revival meeting. But we're also going to be doing the same Saturday night and Sunday morning, and it's going to be those of us Kingstonians that are going to bring it. All right? Are we okay? Right. Now, also Tuesday night, Steve and I will be heading up this school of ministry. Wednesday night, Steve and I will be doing the Newburgh School of Ministry. Got it? So it'll be Tuesday here, Wednesday there. Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning there. Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night here. So we'll be reasonably busy, but not too busy, because there's so many of us now that have got this unction, Those of you that were here the weekend, Sunday morning was like a battlefield here. And the praise here Sunday morning was just off the chain, man. It was just wild. And so all I'm saying is let's not look. Now, I realize that Steve and I and a few other key people as we begin the race together are prominent in this. I understand that. Who was it telling me? Alice. I'll tell you this quick story. Yeah, I'm good. She said that when they heard down there in Kingston, in Jamaica, that Tatiana's mother died. Of course, Tatiana and Kiana and you guys would have been in the office, right? So Wendy took the team outside, and Alice took the team outside, and for a moment, if I got it right, if I remember, she kind of looked out to see and went kind of, where's Dad, you know? And then she said, no, I got it. And she turned back and began to pull the team together. Because she realized that it would be much better if her dad was here right now to do this. But he ain't. But I am. And I've still got the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead in me. You see, until we're not there, you won't be. And we have to create somehow, sometime, because we're not talking about planting a church once every 5 years here. There won't be a mother church. Don't think mother church. There's not mother church and daughter church and father churches and son churches. We're not doing that. All right? Some movements do that. It's an autonomous movement. So therefore, when the church is planted, that church is immediately independent. But relating to the Apostolic Council and the other churches. So this is something I want everybody to grasp. And I'm only giving you the big picture of it. Now, some of you are going to be part of the Newburgh Church and will stay there permanently. Some of you will be part of the Newburgh plant and will only be there temporarily and be based here. For instance, the girls all said, oh, yeah, we'd love to go down here on Friday nights and, you know, just give it all we've got and that. But they'll still be paying their tithe here. Now, there'll be others that will be going down there, and they will be part of that plant and will become permanently part of that house. And then there will be others that will be part of that plant and will move from that plant to the next one. And there will be some from this church that will move to the next plant as well. You get my drift? In other words, let's say for argument's sake, we plant a church in New York City, for argument's sake. The reason why I believe the Lord showed me Newburgh is nobody has to move. Nobody has to actually relocate. We know Tony wants to be part of it. Well, he lives just there in Poughkeepsie, you know. I mean, in New Paltz. Sal and Chris, they want to be. They live down there in Highland. And people, I know Bob and that, they live down that way. You know, it's a little further, but it's not much further. You know what I'm saying? So they can be part of that. Am I making sense to everybody? So, but the essence of it all is this, and this is the word that the Lord's been speaking to me the most personal. As a pastor, I've been pastoring this church for 8 years now, and a lot of people have left this year. And the word of the Lord gave me, it sounds a bit mean, so stay with me. I can get that way if you ain't careful. Depart from me, I never knew you. Now, I'm not Jesus, therefore I don't have the right to say that. I understand that. You know, I'm not God. That's what God said. But what I'm saying is, I am astounded at the actions of some of the people I thought I knew. Shocked. Most of them, not shocked. But some of them, astounded that a person can have that much word in them and do a mark on you. You know, mark, quit, run away, cowardice. I've called it to them to their faces, many of them. Well, not to their faces, they wouldn't face me, but you see what I'm saying? Now, I'm saying this because if you want to grow in what God is doing in the future, I'm not just talking about this movement. If you want to grow in what God is doing in the future, you have got to deal with your false face. That's a pretty heavy word, Vaughn. Yeah, you're right. That's why God wanted me to give it. You've got to deal with it. There are so many insecurities in our lives, and I am not exempt. I'm not exempt. Steve's not exempt. But I want to tell you something. If you want to grow in God right now, now is a time to cut the bull. To stop this false Christianity that is causing a powerless church in our nation. Because they were unity. There was unity in the spirit, in the bond of peace. They were in one accord in one place. They were. And the Holy Spirit fell. So I'm saying that because, you know, this is one of those I'll get off the pot moments right now. Get me? This is one of the, this is barn talk if you haven't figured it out by now. You know, this is what we're doing. This is what is going to happen. We are going to become a movement that is going to diapers off. We ain't going to take, we're going to get, that's main reason I wanted Elaine to step away from her piano so she can start preaching. Because we need, nobody knows how to potty train at gunpoint better than Elaine Ortman. That's a Mike Petra expression. I like it. One of the most. He's going to be here next week, folks. So don't forget, next week, Mike's going to be here. Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Thursday night. Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday night. 8 o'clock kickoff in the mornings, which will be straight after the prayer meeting, of course. So I'm serious. This is why I just to encourage Elaine, I hope. I told you the story before about that buddy of mine I work with as a musician. I remember exactly where we were. We were in a house meeting in Queens. Not Queens, Long Island. When I said to him, listen, John, you need to put that guitar down or God's going to put a crack in it and you should be preaching. Now, you don't like me talking to you that way because you're wimpy Americans. Like I say, there's the door. Victoria said something to me. She hasn't been saved too long. She's been coming to the church for several weeks. And she looked all 3 foot 8 of her, 4 foot 2. How tall is 5 foot 2 and all princess? She looked up at me, she said, push me. Push me. And I'll be honest, I need to be pushed. I need to be pushed. The famous words I got from Gary the other week, now I'll tell you who it was, in one of the four great statements. You know what, Vaughn? You need to get over yourself. Okay. That was some of the best advice I ever heard in my life. Get over yourself. Oh, all right, Gary. Thanks, mate. Really, it's what God's doing. God needs men to be men, women to be women. He needs you women to move out in confidence and authority of your husbands and the house. And ladies, if you're single, please let us know how we can help you and serve you better. We don't know because nobody ever tells us. I used to have sleepless nights about the single women in the church because I didn't know how to help them. And then I thought, what? It ain't my fault. They won't tell me. Now, I know I'm not the kind of guy you come running up to say, oh, phone. But the point is, we have pastors in the house. We need to be informed. And we need to know. We are not going to be a wimpy church. If you're wounded, get healed. Get healed. Healing is a decision. And this is what we all need to do. We all need to get healed. We've all got wounds. So are we getting a little of the point here, some of this? So it's going to be two churches. It's going to be completely autonomous. Steve is going to spearhead it completely. Now, of course, we as the apostolic team are going to be working like white on rice. Trust me. We talk about everything all the time, every day. When we, you know, we meet just sometimes just him and I and just zoom into all what we have to talk about. And it's all good. It's all good. And we want to work with all of you like that. I want to be able to work with you. I want to be able to talk to you and say, when I see something, I want to be able to tell you. And, you know, what was that thing? Josh, you said about a fence once. Can you remember it? A fence is good, yeah. Did you hear that? A fence exposes unrighteousness because it's only your self-righteousness that gets offended. So a fence is good.
It's scary, isn't it?
A fence is good. So, okay, after all that lot, I'll probably shut you all up for questions. But try throwing a few at me. I mean, and then we're still at a brainstorming stage. Okay, you remember, there's no such thing as a stupid statement in a brainstorming session. So, go. John. Yeah, we don't want to be in the city. Is city more downtown? You mean we're looking more west of 9W, if I'm geographically speaking. Yeah, you know, it doesn't have to be. I mean, we might start a little nearer the city. We believe in God. Okay, we need to. Somebody make notes. This is one thing we need to do. The first thing we believe God for is a building, and we're not going to mess around. We need a turnkey building. A turnkey building. And I got the faith for that, man. Please, I got the faith for that. So, did I tell you about that time we planted a church in Queens? 5 of us went down there Tuesday. We stayed in a friend's attic Tuesday night. Wednesday, I was in an apartment. Sunday, we had church in that apartment. Next Sunday, we were in a storefront. So within 10, 11 days of me getting down there, I had an apartment and a storefront, and we were up and running. When we got sent to Lexington, New York from Jerusalem, we went around the world to get there, but that's a long story. That figures, it was around the world. We were in Virginia, and I left Wendy in Virginia and drove up to Lexington to look for a place to rent. We stayed overnight in the Bronx at a R.W. Shambach tent meeting. The next day, drove up to Lexington, rented a place, and went back one day. $250 a month, 3-bedroom house. Yeah, I got the faith for it. Agree with me. I would like to buy a house in Newburgh because obviously, although people won't relocate, some of you might relocate, but although you won't relocate, it would be great to have a sizable house that people who are going to be there Friday night, Saturday night for Sunday morning would have, it would be a kind of dorm style situation, you know, guys in here, girls in there, that kind of thing. But this is the way we can do it. This is marine stuff. This is, you know, hey, we're going away for the weekend, bring your bedroll and your toothbrush, we're going to plant a church. You know what I'm saying? Forget all this comfort zone stuff, man. I mean, we're going for it. We ain't creeping into Newburgh either. One thing we've got to, that's what we're going to depend heavily upon, planning people for things like how to blitz advertising, door to door, you know, not door hangers, knocking on them. Introducing ourselves, handing stuff out, radio announcements, newspaper announcements, all that stuff. We're going to announce what's going to happen. And we're going to advertise what's going to happen. We're going to advertise that people are going to get healed. Advertise people are going to... Am I right, Steve? And we're going to advertise people are going to get delivered. We're going to actually put it in the paper. So, yeah, we're going to do it or we ain't. I mean, those kids went down to Jamaica and just confronted the devil. King's Fire International, Newburgh. As this will become King's Fire International, Kingston. Next. Yeah, I mean, I can't ever see me moving on from Kingston. This will still, it won't be a mother or father church, but it will be a base church. What I think, we're not totally sure, but what we think is that we'll empty this out, we'll build this back up, and the next plant will mainly come out of Kingston not Newburgh's. It will come out of both, but I think the strength will come out of Kingston. But the spearhead in again will be Steve and I and the evangelistic team, especially that Steve raises up to thrust into these cities to break the city open. Philip the evangelist went down and tore Samaria up. And then the apostles came in and helped confirm it. So, but the thing is I think, is it my imagination of we all pretty much understood that we're all supposed to do the work of an evangelist? Yeah, we've all pretty much got this, you know, that ain't my first call, but I'm going to go for it, right? So look at this, you know, we just, yeah. Great. Next question. Pardon? Yeah, I expect that might not be. It's a good question. We need to really develop. We got to buy that camera. Have we got the word on that camera yet, Josh? Working on it? Tomorrow. Yeah, we're improving. We're going to hopefully buy a new camera tomorrow and upgrade all our equipment and do this stuff. Yes, young lady. Whoever God's speaking to do what? Yeah, whoever God's speaking to. We're not going to tell anybody to do anything. Now, those who don't want to be part of that church plant, I'm going to say, well, I've got a couple of seats in my car this Friday night. Why don't you jump in? But no, it's going to be what, you know, what's God saying to you? What's God speaking to your heart? And if there's only a dozen who are going to actually be part of the church plant, then I will get more pushy this end to get people down to be part of it, even though ultimately they'll come back here. You get my point? Yeah. Fred. Louder? That's a good question. That's something that we have to get a strategy on that, on how quickly we begin to. Maybe August, September. I don't know much about advertising, but, you know, I'm told you can't go too far in advance because people will forget the date or too soon to the date or they'll be too busy or so. I'm not sure. Maybe. Does anybody know anything about advertising? Anybody got any people in advertising? Get some professional advice on this. Make some phone calls but don't bog me down with the details on that now. Next. Not initially. There ain't going to be nothing except the Holy Ghost knockdown, drag out revival meetings. So let me encourage you. John Wimber started the Vineyard Movement. When he had a church of way in excess, it was close to 2,000 people in Anaheim, California. He never had a children's ministry at all. He had no Sunday school. So families would come and say, well, why haven't you got a Sunday school? He said, well, God hasn't shown me what to do, so we don't have one. Now, how's that for courage? But see, the point is, if as it bites, people will say, oh, you don't have a Sunday school. Oh, well, can I start something? The days are over when we say, oh, will you do this and will you do that? It's the other way around. You come to us, you tell us what you want to do. Nobody ever, you know, I told you before, my first job was locking the gate in the church. My second job was driving a car to drop people off at night. But in the end, I was always there. Wherever the leaders were, I was standing next to them. Just in case either some anointed would spill over me or they'd make some smart remark that I could learn from, or they needed a catcher or they needed a runner, or that's what it's all about. I don't know how to do the other stuff. I only know how to do it the way I know how to do it. You want to do something for God? Stick around, for God's sake. Gary. Yeah.
This one or that one.
Yeah.
Because the same, we need all the same things here. We're new here.
Yeah, we are.
We need the same fearless evangelizing, you know, willingness to get outside the comfort zone.
I couldn't agree more. In fact, if you were here Sunday morning and heard Gary's word, you'd understand what he's saying. I thought it was a great word. Because we are doing a church plant here. Now, this is something I forgot to tell you. Here we go. Anybody who wants to be part of that church plant, you have one thing before you can be a part of it. You've got to replace yourself here. Don't laugh at me. I'm just telling you what you've got to do. You've got to replace yourself. Before you leave, you make sure your seat is occupied. Yeah, that's not unreasonable. That's not unreasonable at all. You make an effort. You've got 3 months to get out there and get a hold of someone and begin to disciple them. There's another thing that you are going to be in the new church plant. You are going to be chief cook and bottle washer. You are going to be part of the host team. You are going to be part of the hospitality team. You are going to be part of the cleaning team. You are going to be a cashier. You are going to be. If you ain't going to be, you ain't going to be. That's what you are going to be. And so the other thing I want to mention also about what's going on at the moment is for the next, we don't know how long, Steve is going to be doing the worship here to bring that same anointing, that same revival anointing, glory anointing, whatever anointing you want to call it, in all of the worship band so that there can be flexibility. And so all of the worship team here will have that same flavor, that same taste, that same anointing. That's going to be something that's going to be exciting. And I hear there's some musicians out here that are hiding. Come on, who's hiding out there? I heard there's saxophone players here and people who play flutes and things. I don't know what it is. Yeah, you hiding up there. I'll get up there, mate. I'll get that door before you get down the stairs. You know, really, now's the time to bring them out. Now's the time. You've been in a worship lately. I mean, look at last, was it Friday when Dave was leading or Saturday and it all went wrong? Remember that? It was great, wasn't it? It all went wrong. It was great. Well, isn't that the best time now to get rid of your inhibitions when everyone's like falling on their heads and making fools of themselves? I mean, we're all doing it together. It makes perfect sense to me. Because let's face it, the Corinthian church may have been a mess, but it surely was a powerful mess. And it sorted itself out. You see what I'm saying? Give me a mess any day that God can bring order to, then we all think there's order and God can't get into it. I'd rather bring order into a mess than him trying to mess up order. Now that was a good one. That was a good one. So that's the kind of thing we do. Remember, all Marines are riflemen. We're all Minutemen. We all know how to do what it's going to take. It's going to take effort. It's going to take time. We're not asking you for extra time. We're asking for all of your time. Yeah. Not asking for extra time. We're asking for all of your time. That's what God's saying in this hour. He's saying, what Bible are you reading? Where you are a part. There's no such thing in this book as a part-time Christian. Biblically, they don't exist. Culturally, they only exist. Remember, we are a multiracial, single culture church. We have one culture, the kingdom of God. And that's why we have to break all the cultures in our minds. And if you don't understand culture, you need to watch Auntie Jack. Auntie Jack was funny, wasn't he? I'd like to quote him right now, but I don't know who'd get offended. Shall I tell him? Even Steve's embarrassed. That's an Australian comedian, but if you watch Auntie Jack, you'll understand Steve. It's true, that one is Steve. All right, so I'll tell you what it is. This guy, he's dressed up as a woman. He wears a big muumuu. Oh, no. You've seen it, have you? Oh. He's got a... Now that's what I'm talking about. Did you hear what he said? He said, I've never been so happy in church, he said. Do you remember when this guy arrived like a week ago and Steve said, just open up like a flower. Just open up. Oh, sit down. But ever since then, he's been like a Hoover. Every time he comes to a meeting, he's sucking the dust out of the carpet for 3 hours at a time. One minute you can't open him up, next minute you can't shut him up. Quiet, man, I'm talking. So, but you see what I'm talking about? You see, the thing is, if you don't want to be known, you can't do anything successfully for God. There's too much veneer, too many walls, too much plastic. It's got to go. If you can't open up to somebody, it's because you're deeply hurt and it's because you're still full of unforgiveness and you haven't repented. That's the only kind of inner healing there is. I don't care what your theology is. Forgiveness and repentance. And that's what we got to keep focusing on all the time. We've got to keep pulling it out, pulling it out, pulling it out, pulling it out until we're ready to be flexible. And so anyway, Auntie Jack has a moustache, dressed in this big muumuu, and wears a boxing glove on one hand. And it's so funny. We show it one night, but people could probably do it now, actually, on YouTube. Are you looking for it, Sarah? Auntie Jack. Anyway, and he says, so he's this big, big fat woman. He said, and don't turn that TV off, or I'll come round your house and rip your bloody arms off it. So, that's Australian humour. So, Steve introduced me to Auntie Jack this week, and I cracked up, mate. Because if you understand, that's the way they think. Guys dressed up in muumuus with boxing gloves, threatening to rip your arms off, is just like saying, have a nice day. It's the same. It's the Australian equivalent. They don't get it, Steve. They ain't been there yet. So, she's looking for it. All right, question. We're trying to wrap this up. One hand of meeting over to Steve. If we can get any sanity out of this night. Yes, dear. Right. Yeah, so that's the kind of thinking we're looking for. Exactly. Stace? Yeah, Tuesday night be the same next week because Mike Pets is going to be in Albany next Tuesday night. Oh, yeah, the school will still be. Nothing's taken away. It's just that Mike's going to be here Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, and Thursday night. You really need to try and avail yourself to Mike. Mike, in my opinion, he's the best apostolic teacher I know. 8 o'clock in the morning. 8 till 9:30, you know, we'll just do one session. 10 at the latest, say. So any of you guys have got jobs or figure things out, if you can go in late for a couple of 3 days, it may just work. My new church administrator's smiling at me. Write a memo.